This email in, it's a Georgia. I used to work on motion pictures on Citizen Ruth. Now, Kelly Preston, John Travolta's wife. One of my jobs was to pull her trailer on the set and keep it clean, so I made sure the bathroom was clean. It added a roll of toilet paper in there where you pull it from underneath. Well, she told me one day, driving her around, that I need to put the roll so you can pull it down. That's the proper way. She was nice. That's from Paul. How about that? So that seems to be the consensus these days. We're going to come back another hour to go of open line calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you and your calls. Let's go right back to the calls. We're going to the Mojave Desert in California. Anthony's with us in Mojave. Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you, George. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was telling the screener about my wife's condition. She has the Morgellons syndrome. And I kept going onto the internet looking at the pictures that other folks have sent in. And she has all those signs. But lately, she fools around with it, the darn things a lot. And she kept complaining about blood clots. Is this a blood clot? Is this a blood clot? And she plopped something down and it was horrible and red and looked like a blood clot. So a few weeks back, she goes, is this a blood clot? And it's subcutaneous, you know, it under the skin, and it had a fluke like a whale.
Jeez.
Big red blood, arterial blood red body. And the thing that looked like a mouth, and things that were like teeth in that mouth. And I poked it, and it recoiled. And I heated the poker, and it rolled up into a ball.
What the heck was it?
I don't know. But it's always in the wound where she's had one of these fibrous things, and I don't know if it's a life form or a nano machine.
Jeez. Does she recollect how she may have gotten this thing?
She had an incident a couple of times. She's had an incident where the bottom of her feet were painful. Now she has a fibromyalgia, so she's in pain constantly anyway. And you know, this beautiful, vibrant, bright woman is constantly racked. And certainly a prayer meeting would not be a shoot by me in any way for that. But this thing has morphed into a, I don't know if it's a cycle of life or what. But, you know, it started up just like everybody else's case of Morgellons, but now these leech-like parasites are coming out of her.
Jeez, she's going to need some serious help on that.
That would be my shout out is the state of the medical profession these days is just abominable.
Has she been X-rayed?
Yeah, you know what? The samples to a lab before it came back. It's wood particles or plant particles.
Plant particles, but it looks like it's real, right? Like some kind of little animal.
This thing's engorged in blood. It has a mouth. It has a fluke that it looks like a wind-up key.
My God.
It's horrible.
I'd want to get this thing cut out of me immediately.
Yeah, but there are apparently dozens of the darn things.
Amazing. Yeah, definitely. I'd bring her into emergency and say, this woman needs to be X-rayed and find out what the heck that is. Let's go to George in Martinez, California, west of the Rockies. Is this the guy I think it is?
It's George in Martinez, California, that guy from Pittsburgh.
The guy from Pittsburgh.
On KFBK 1530 AM in Sacramento. Hey, I got some technical reasons why you don't do the toilet paper one way as opposed to the other, and the same with the car headlights.
All right.
Let me explain a few things. I got a real small bathroom. If I do it toward the wall, it unravels to a point. It doesn't go all the way down. But cats and dogs love to play with toilet paper. If you do it outside, centrifugal force will force the toilet paper into the toilet.
Oh, really?
I've seen this in bathrooms and hospitals and everything else. If you're close to the toilet, it will force it into the toilet. So that's why part of the reason why people may do it inside. Now, as for the headlights, these things now are halogen. Not the old giant Sylvania bulbs, unless you've got a really old car. And you're not supposed to touch those with your fingers because the oil, like the big lamps stand up, can explode the lights. And they make these things so damn hard to put in and out, to pull them out, at clamps and wires, and your hands can't get in there. So a lot of people would say, screw it. When one element dies out, they just run on high beams. And these things run 16 to as high as 40 bucks a piece. That's why people don't change the bulbs. It's either too hard to get them in and out or too expensive. And the last thing is, I worked retail for years. If it's not a cell phone company, stores you see are owned by corporate, they got to go and put a requisition in to get this stuff repaired, bring a neon sign company out. That could take months to requisition the money and have somebody come out. I don't think it's laziness at all.
All right. You're with me on that.
Yeah. One other thing. I do have a question for you because I was kind of shocked with all the environmental stuff on Coast. Why are you using disposable batteries?
Well, because
all I use is rechargeable.
They're too many. You'd be recharging. No. How long does a rechargeable last compared to a regular battery?
I have no idea because I haven't bought a regular battery in 10 years.
I'd love to do a study on that. Rechargeable against the regular.
I've got so many devices.
I've got a few rechargeables.
Someone for the free energy remote, but... I have seven chargers in my apartment for batteries alone, and I have tons of batteries in here. So there's so many remotes now. And so I don't even use rechargeable because you got to go down to the hardware store and put them in the disposal bin and all that. You don't want to throw them in the garbage. They leak mercury or whatever's in there. So my little remote, my Westinghouse, that lasts a few months at least, but I'm going through batteries like crazy all the time.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl, George?
Wait a minute. Who was it? Denver and who was the other guy?
Carolina.
I made a mistake with the Patriots. I thought they would take it. They should have given Tom Brady a chair and had him sit down, but karma comes back to you. Play around football, you get bitten.
That's right.
So I think it's going to be Carolina.
All right. And we're going to see you at the Conscious Life Expo soon.
Well,
huh?
No, you may not. I'll write you an email as to why I went to the physical therapy, or I call it physical torture today, and they found out something I didn't know I had. So I've got problems in the back
all
area.
Right. You take care of yourself.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next up, let's go to Miles in Washington. Miles, welcome to the program.
Hey, George.
Hi.
How's it going, man?
Okay.
I've been listening to you on 27. I called a couple weeks ago, man. I love listening to you, man. I work on night shifts, man. But my dad has cancer right now, man. I'm just like political and stuff, man. I don't know what's going on in our country, man. Do you?
Oh, it's something. It is just topsy turvy. This presidential election is weird. Everything is strange. Everything.
Hey, George, could you send me a couple of books, man?
Yeah.
My family really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll put you on hold. We'll get your address.
Oh, man, thank you very much.
What kind of books do you like?
Anything. UFOs, anything.
Okay, you like the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put you on hold. Tom, get his address. I got a couple books. We'll send it. Never throw a book away. Donna's in Santa Rosa, and that's in California. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Good show tonight.
Good morning. So how do you like open lines every once in a while during the middle of the week?
I think it's very refreshing.
I like it. It's a nice little change.
And it kind of feels like a way we all get to know each other a little better.
Our close-knit community.
Yeah, and I did want to say that I missed you when you were up here in San Rafael, which is only about 20 miles away from where I live. Unfortunately, of the 25 screws in my spine, one of them broke. So I couldn't travel down there to see you, but I'm still waiting to go in the hospital and have it repaired.
Oh, my God. Get that taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's kind of scary. I didn't even think it could break, but, you know, I was always a superwoman, so I guess I still am in a way.
Good for
I make
you.
Up for it by, I donate blood and platelets, so I save lives that way.
Good for you.
It seems glamorous. But anyway, I called about the toilet paper thing as well, and you made a comment on one of the calls about how the hotels, they fold it in a little diamond shape.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, oh, that's such a nice touch. And, you know, I was cleaning my family home. I've always had the toilet paper roll over the top. And when I'm done cleaning the bathroom, I know it's cleaned and disinfected. And I'm not going to go so far as putting a piece of paper around the toilet bowl, but I do fold the toilet paper into that little shape. And so whoever walks in there, they always go, oh, how nice. Like, it's just kind of, you feel like you're in a hotel. And even if no one's used that bathroom and I'm the one who walks in, I get surprised. And I go, oh, it looks so nice in here. So it's just kind of a thing that I do. But having, at the time I had a cat who was already an adult and she had her own things to play with. But later on I got a kitten and they decide they're going to unroll. They stand on their hind feet and bat at the roll. And they, it's just entertaining. But they don't stop until they get every bit of toilet paper down to a pile on the floor. So that got a little pricey. So then I figured, well, you know, I'll just turn the roll around. They're not going to figure that one out. Well, it took them a little bit, but sure enough, they figured out how to go backwards and bat at it. So they would get the roll undone then. So there is a little trick that you can do if any of your listeners are listening and they have cats. You just kind of pull a little bit off the roll, you know, leave it attached. And then you tuck it inside the roll so they can bat at it, but nothing will come down.
A little bit of magic there, Donna.
Yeah, and let's see, what else was I going to say?
I don't know. What was it?
Oh, you know what I was going to say, seeing how we're this open line thing. You were very mysterious about if you're married or in a relationship. What's going on with you?
What do you think?
I think you're single because if you'd be going to all these events, people would probably be mentioning that they met your wife.
Huh. Maybe.
Or you have a girlfriend who
maybe
waits at home for you. Then I also thought maybe that's why you created the paranormal dating site.
For me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not on it. I'm not.
You're not on it. Why not?
I'm not on it. Because, I mean, I couldn't be.
You wouldn't? You couldn't be? Why?
Because I'd never get anybody to answer me or respond.
Why would you say that?
It'd be depressing for me. I'd be on it and nobody would be there.
Well, then nobody would sign up because everyone would think that way.
I'd put my picture up there and I'd get no responses. It'd be horrible.
Well, everyone has to take that chance. But with that many people, I'm sure there'd be plenty of people interested. You're a very handsome man, George.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
Donna,
so,
are you hitting on me?
No, not yet.
I bet you are.
No, actually, I'm just kind of curious why you wouldn't be with, you know, you.
Well, maybe I am.
Maybe you what?
Maybe I am with somebody. Maybe I'm not.
Okay.
If I run for president, everyone knows everything.
Well, that's true. Well, you were considering it, right?
Why, did you want to be the first lady? You did.
You know, I'm not a gold digger. It's not what I'm about. I'm very much into long-term friendship.
Well, you don't have to be a gold digger to be the first lady.
Well, I would make a very good first lady.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
What would you do? What would you do? What would you change?
Well, I would try and keep a lot of it kind of like the old White House, like as with the old Hollywood, where it would be, you know, you don't come in wearing pajama bottoms or, you know, blue jeans or something. You get dressed nicely, you know, get dressed for dinner, have a lot of culture, you know.
Like Jackie Onassis Kennedy.
Exactly.
She was classy.
Exactly. The cute little suits and little hats.
I think she put up with a lot, much more than most people know.
Well, you know, then there's the whole Hillary and George thing. You know, how much does she put up with? And
what do you mean the George thing?
I mean
the Bill thing?
Bill.
Yeah, don't throw me in that mix with Hillary.
No, sorry. No, but the whole Hillary where, you know, oh, poor Hillary, and he fooled around on her. Well, I'm sure she wasn't a joy to live with.
That's true. Okay, so, Donna, I'm going to run off, okay?
Okay, so you're not going to tell me whether you're single or not?
Well, what does it matter?
I'm just curious.
You'll just have to keep trying to figure it out.
Okay.
All right?
Well, it was nice talking to you.
All right, Donna. Be well. Tommy, you got a text?
Are you secretly with Hillary and we just don't know it?
Yeah, I'm dating Hillary Clinton on the side.
You know, I
Push
checked,
me.
I wanted to
ledge.
Tell you real quick. I checked with Rob in Ottawa. because I thought it was maybe a generation thing about the battery testers, because I just don't get it. But it's not, because he's almost my age. So
he's got one too.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only 57, so it's not a generation.
No, I think it's a great way. How frustrating can it be when you're using something and the batteries don't work?
So you put in new ones.
Well, but yeah, but it's nice to have the tester to know that if there's something wrong with that or the gizmo or something. So that's what I do. Those things are very inexpensive.
But if you just put in batteries, your problem's solved. If you take the time, you got to go upstairs, downstairs, wherever you are.
You save money with this stuff. It tells you exactly how much juice is left in that battery. So you had to text for me, right?
Yeah, I do. Dale in Maine, he has a question for you. I know some people don't believe in UFOs, but I don't understand why. What do you think it is? Ignorance? That's what he says.
No, it's not fair to say that people are ignorant if they don't believe in UFOs. I think they just have their own belief system, whether it's in God or extraterrestrial life. And, you know, there's a camp out there that thinks we are the only ones in the universe. And I don't fault them for that. I don't ridicule them. That's not what we're here for.
I actually can't find people, really, that don't believe in it.
Michael Shermer.
Well, no. I mean, like in my travels. No, I know that, but in my travels.
Well, in your travels, you're dealing primarily with people who listen to this program. And, you know, if you take a poll of Coast listeners about ET life, I bet it would be 95%.
Oh, yes. At least.
Easy. And, you know, Lex has done polls on our Coast Insider chats, and we get instant results that way. And, you know, we do the instant polls, too, on the website.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of questions, you know, are very high. You get a lot of people that believe in those kinds of things, ghosts and everything else. But the mainstream, you take it out there, it's not as high.
No, true.
Not as high at all. Okay. So we've got about a minute left before the break, and then we'll come back and take more of your final open line calls. We've got a great week in store for you. Hey, by the way, this weekend I'm going to be in Big Bear Lake, California. They still have about 25 tickets left. Take advantage of it. Full details at coasttocoastam.com, and you'll really have a great time. My coat has arrived. Tom kept telling me, he said, George, if you don't bring a... Keep in mind, all my winter stuff is in St. Louis. There's no need to have anything of that here in California. And he said, if you don't bring a coat, you are going to freeze to death. Well, I thought he was nuts, but I started looking at the weather out that way. He's not nuts. So I bought a coat. I've got one. It's a big old Canadian down jacket, and I'll be okay. We'll be back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Erin Elizabeth joins us as we talk about dead holistic doctors, and that number continues to grow. Plus, we'll talk about the man who could fly. Michael Grosso joins us as we talk about levitation. I'm looking forward to that. We've got a great week in store for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to come back in a moment. We'll take your final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment here as we go to your open line calls on what has been an amazing night of phone calls. Lots going on. All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to North Carolina to get going here. James is with us. Hey, James, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. Hey, it's an honor to speak with you.
You too.
I was wanting to share with you an experience, very profound, that I had, but I'm afraid there's not going to be enough time left.
Is it that long?
Well, it happened over a 2-week period. And it was exactly 1 year ago today.
Okay, now I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you get closer to your phone?
Yeah, I got closer.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Much better.
Yeah, I was, but there was things, you know, there was some kind of intelligence that was putting things in my path. And, well, to preface that, you know, I've been into ancient mysticism, ancient knowledge, trying to, you know, figure out lost knowledge for many years.
So you've dabbled with that?
I've dabbled big time.
Maybe too much. Yeah, exactly.
And I've come across information that, you know, at one point, it really scared me. But
what happened to you?
Well, I Let me first give you something in case I get cut off. I want the world to see this. There's a picture of Jesus that a 7-year-old painted, right? I think her name was Akion Kramerik.
Okay.
And she painted this when she was 7 years old. And if you look at the forehead of Jesus in this picture and stare at the forehead, you'll see the image of the Eye of Horus come to view. And that's one of the things that this intelligence put in front of me for me to see. It's not like it communicated with me telepathically or anything. It kept putting things in my path for me to see, you know, in the forms of articles and papers. And
what was the main message this was trying to get across to you?
Well, the main message was basically the numbers 9 and the numbers 11 have to do with the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Now, this was before 9/11?
No, this was, I was getting these experiences last year.
Okay, well, I tell you what we're going to do, because you were right. I think this is going to go on much longer than the time we have left. Why don't you start, if you would, James, send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com. Include your phone number and just kind of break it down a little bit about what's going on. You sound like you could be half of a show, if you would. Let's go to North Boston, New York. Dolores is with us. Hey, Dolores, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
This is a Good Friday story about Alaska and North Boston, New York, with my youngest son.
All right.
On Good Friday, he called and he said, "Mom, I want to go fishing at the Kenai Peninsula, but I don't want to miss Mass on Sunday. And my friends are up there, but they don't go to Mass or church or anything. And we're going clamming." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Do I have to go to church today?" And I said, "Not necessarily, but tradition says between 12 and 3, when our Lord was on the cross, silence, no music, do your prayers as you're going." So that night in the evening, and of course Alaska is all daytime, that night I hit my knees and I was down praying. Now, as a Catholic, if you are in a state of grace, which means you have confession, Mass, communion, you stay in the state of grace, you can send your angel as a mother to your child to help your child.
How do you do that?
Well, I just asked the Blessed Mother and our Lord to send my angel.
And off it went.
All night long, I'm on my knees till the next afternoon, and I called Paul, and I said, Paul Bryan, what happened? And he said, "Mom, you know, you're thousands of miles away. What do you mean? Don't play with my instincts. I had to send my angel to help you." And he told me they were out clamming. They didn't pay attention to the tide. The tide started to come in. The two boys, there are neoprene waders, which I had gotten for him. The other two boys had chest and hip waders, fish, you know, going
right
out into the ocean.
Sure.
So anyway, what happened was all of a sudden the tide came in. They didn't pay attention. He grabbed, it was coming in so fast, he grabbed one boy. He's 6'4". The other boys were under 6 feet. He had one on his back, the other one under his arm. The one kid's waders were filled with water.
So that's pulling him down, right?
And the other boy was on his back. And he said, "Mom," he said, "the water was up to my chin and coming up to my nose, and I had a football field to go doing this." And he said, "We started to pray." And he said, "The boys didn't know anything about praying, but boy, did they learn quick." And he saved not only his own life, but the two boys, and the one boy that had his waders full, never let go of the clam bucket.
he wanted his clams.
He wanted, but you know, George, there was a thing for Mitch, because he was talking about Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And by the way, Tom said, when you get done real quick, that I should get back to him for an address, please.
Okay, sure thing.
All right. Anyway, Friday the 13th, this came from the National Catholic Register. Okay, Friday the 13th, believe that Christ was crucified on March 13th, 33. He died on the eve of the Passover. Passover was celebrated on the 14th of the month. according to the Julian calendar in use in 33, March 14th, was a Saturday. Therefore, Christ was crucified on March 13th, 33. That might explain the fascination with Friday the 13th.
That could be.
And the other interesting thing was it may have something to do with the Ides of March, fascination with that.
Killing off Julius Caesar.
And then The Passion and Death of Jesus Christ by Alphonse Liguori states that the earthquake and darkness that took place when Christ died, they were worldwide.
All right, I'm putting you on hold. We'll get your address for whatever you want. And Tom, you have another final text message. What do you have for us?
We do, from Katrina in South Dakota. Hi, George.
Hi, Katrina.
Rhetorical. It seems like you guys are always busy and don't get a lot of vacation time. But where's your favorite place to visit when you do have the time? And P.S., please tell us if you're married or not.
Ah, people are pushing all this stuff.
They are.
I wonder if we should have a raffle.
A raffle?
Yeah, something. Let's come up with a contest. You know, am I married? Am I not? Do I date?
Oh.
What do I do?
Do you have pets? Do you not?
I'm married to the show. Good answer?
It's whatever you want to answer. It's your business.
You know, the places I like going, first of all, the events that we go to all around the country are fun for me. I enjoy those.
They are.
I like going back to St. Louis. I like coming back to L.A. I like going to Denver doing Beyond Belief. You know, I like all those spots. But there's this place I'd love to go. I haven't gone yet, and that would be Monaco. I know Prince Albert. He's invited me there for years. I haven't gone there. I'd love to do it. Hawaii, of course. I've been there several times. Have my studio there. I've got to start using that. I want to be able to do that, too.
You know, I've never been to Hawaii. I can't believe it either.
You haven't?
Never.
Yeah, you got to go out there.
I do.
Okay, well, thanks for the text. We're going to do, see, Friday we're not here because we're on our way to Big Bear, right? Okay. Let's go to who's next. And don't forget, Dolores on line one. Pat in Brewer, Maine. Welcome to the show, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I actually got through on the first ring.
Perfect.
My new phone that I don't know how to use, and it brought me to tears, this phone. And you know how it has the little itsy-bitsy touch tone buttons?
Yep.
Well, I thought of what you said about using two fingers. I used to do two-finger typing.
I am the fastest two-finger typist you'll ever see. Hunt and peck.
Well, I'm getting there now. I don't know what it is about that left side. And my brain is trained from back in the typewriter days. And I think I just don't want to get caught up with technology.
Could you type with your eyes closed?
I used to be able to. I could type almost up to 65 words per minute.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, used to.
God, you remember when we had typewriters?
Yeah, oh yeah. And matter of fact, I couldn't understand when my kids were in second grade why they were all of a sudden required to have a calculator and everything was keyboarding.
Do you remember when you'd go to the grocery store and they had to manually enter the price of every item?
Yeah.
Gosh, have things
That's
changed.
When things turn backwards as far as price goes.
Do you miss those days?
Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. I was just telling people in grocery stores everywhere, how much does this cost? How much does that cost? And I wasn't being one of those weird shoppers that just go around like there's nobody in the whole area.
They used to have stickers on all of them. Everything had a little sticker, 20 cents, yeah. 30, whatever it was.
Yeah. But I was calling because I didn't expect to get in on the first call because the way the phone is set up, too, is that I can't speed dial like I was doing on my little.
Well, you'll learn it. You'll learn it.
Huh?
You'll learn how to do it.
Yeah, and one more good thing that's happened to me is that now that God bless my son for getting me this, I forgot that L.A. has 3-hour time difference, so now I go to iHeart and I can actually listen to your show 3 hours behind.
Yep.
So now I can sleep once in a while, and I sleep during the show.
Sleep? What's sleep? Okay, hey, thanks for the call. Let's go with the time remaining to Stefan in Chicago, first-time caller. Hey, Stefan.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really love your show. I've been listening to you since 2010, since I started driving a truck in the United States.
Well, thank you. Where'd you come from?
I came from Europe. I've been born in a small country north of Greece. It's called Macedonia.
Oh, I know it well.
Oh, thanks.
I've got a couple dear Macedonian friends who live in St. Louis.
I'm glad you do. It's a lot of us actually moved out here, and I love America. We are mostly Christians down there, and we have like 365 churches in my small town with 30,000 people.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Yes, a lot of history down there, Alexander the Great and everything.
Sure is.
The reason why I called, it's kind of strange. I haven't shared this with many people, but I'm going to do it tonight.
Okay.
And I had a dream when I was 7 years old. Like I was driving on the highway, and a big mouth come out from on the back of the hill and kind of eat me. And I woke up really scared.
It gobbled you up.
Yes, yes, and I was a little kid, like 7 years old.
A huge Pac-Man.
Yeah, ran to my mom and trying to explain everything. And so time passed by. I forgot all about it. I had really, really easy time learning English. I could have understood everything, but I just have some hard time.
Well, you're doing well. Your English is very good.
Okay. Thank you, thank you. And yes, so I always wanted to come in America, but I didn't know the reason why. And yes, and as soon as I get to Chicago in 2009, somehow I wanted to drive a truck, a big semi truck. And I took the CDL test with no problems.
Good for you.
And, yes, and I got out on the highways, and everything seemed kind of familiar.
Like you were here before, huh?
Yes, yes, and I have forgotten about the dream at this point. I had no idea that I'm gonna remember that stuff.
Yeah,
since the day when I was driving in Iowa on Interstate 80,
just hit you just like that, didn't it?
Just like that, the whole place, it was right there.
I wonder if you like reincarnated in your past life, and you're familiar with these areas.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Because since I was a young driver, I had no idea, like, with the places, but everything seemed familiar, and I did not need it, any GPS or maps.
That's amazing. Are you still driving a truck?
Yes, I do.
Are you a Teamster or independent?
Independent. I'm an owner operator. I own the truck.
Oh, you own the truck. Okay. How much do those things cost, Stefan?
Depends. If you want it new, it's around $100,000.
But wow.
You can find like used trucks for like $30,000-$40,000.
And you can sleep in them, right?
Yes, with sleepers and everything.
Yeah, they're like little houses.
Yes.
I know we get a lot of call from truck drivers who've pulled over. They're in a truck stop and They're living in their trucks.
Yes, yes, we do. It's part of the job, and I love it. I love this whole country, and being pretty much all around it.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, you're the reason why immigration works for people who are dedicated. They come into this country, they work, they want a better living, and good for you. And I hope your family's happy. And everyone else is happy, too. I've only got about a minute left. Probably won't have time to take any more calls, but let's do a little homework here and house cleaning. Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you haven't done that yet. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't done that yet. Sign up if you're available. ParanormalDate.com. Maybe I'll sign up for that. You never know. And nobody will ever respond. It'll be so depressing for me. But no, you do that. ParanormalDate.com or ConspiracyDate.com as well. And email address George@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget, we're going to be at Big Bear Lake, California. All details in our highlight reel. That's right on the front of coasttocoastam.com. If you live in the greater California area, come on out. You'll have a great weekend. Bring a coat. That's what they tell me, because it's going to get darn cold. And thanks. Thanks for participating in this. We're going to do this quite often, Tuesday or Wednesday during the week for a couple hours. Different kinds of open lines, aren't they? For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.